My friends, our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 32nd verse. Hear these words. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, as it was distributed to each as any had need. My friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. So when I was in high school, my father and I used to bond over three things: Broadway, books, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So you can imagine our delight when two of these worlds collided in the fall of 1998. The Warner Brothers television network started advertising a very special musical episode of Buffy. As it went with the plot of the show, there was a demon stirring up all sorts of trouble. In this particular episode, however, it was a musical demon that cast a spell on everyone, causing them to spontaneously break out into song and dance. Now, those of you who share my affinity for musicals might be wondering, what was the big deal? Well, there was a catch. People were not just singing and dancing. Their songs were actually exposing hidden truths. The characters were revealing secrets they had previously been keeping from one another. And so at the end of the episode, with all these secrets they had previously been holding on to for weeks out in the open, all of their selves exposed, their skeletons hanging outside the closet, the characters were left with this sense of, well, what do we do now? Where do we go with all of this information? These previously kept secrets, this new perspective on one another. Something big has happened, and life cannot go back to the way it was before. Not surprisingly, at this point, they broke into the grand finale of the show, a song conveniently titled, Where Do We Go From Here? Complete with an underscoring dialogue between Buffy and another main character, discussing what might happen next. I always think about this show and this episode during the season after Easter in the church, because I can only imagine that Jesus' first followers were going through the same thing following the resurrection. Now, perhaps they were not breaking out into song or dance, although you know that would be a gospel that I could get behind. But they had to have been asking themselves the question, what's next? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? For something big has happened, and life cannot go back to the way it was before. My friends, for us here at Bethel, it has been 28 days since Easter. Jesus was put to death on the cross, but that was not the end. Death did not have the final word. God's love was victorious over the grave, and in a bold witness to this truth, resurrection happened, and it was real and powerful and life-changing. This was a monumental moment, not just in Christian history, but in the world as it was and the world as it would be. But now what? Where do we go from here? This morning's scripture reading comes from the Acts of Apostles, which as a book kind of takes a crack at answering these questions. Acts is a firsthand account of the formation of the early church. It is stories of what the early Christians did in the days, weeks, months, even years following the resurrection. Without the news and the media that we have today, the earliest Christians relied heavily on storytelling, on the oral transmission of the news. And because of this, not everyone had a clear understanding of exactly what had happened to Jesus. But I think for the most part, they got the basic gist. Christ had died, Christ had risen, and they believe Christ would come again, maybe any day. But in the meantime, they were asking the question, what comes next? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? And I believe to some extent, we in the church today are still asking ourselves these very same questions. Sometimes they may be in response to something big that has happened in our lives or in the world. I think we ask these questions every time there is a school shooting or a natural disaster or we lose someone that we love. And other times it happens in response to those moments in our lives where we pause and think about how it is that we are living up to the grace that God has given us. We wonder, what's next? What do we do now? Where do we go from here? And in just 4 verses, I believe our text today from Acts gives us a powerful, yet tangible and attainable answer to that question. What do we do now? We do church. This passage describes the earliest church because for them, there was no book of discipline, no church handbook, no stewardship programs, no board of trustees, thanks be to God, Bill Lucas, no committee meetings, and absolutely no conversations containing the phrase, but we've never done it that way before. Can I get an amen? The earliest church was not an organization to get involved in. It was not a club to join. Church was not a noun. It was a verb. It was people united around a common sense of purpose, driven by action, movement forward. Excuse me. They were gathering together because they believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They came together to give testimony to the gospel and the grace of God bestowed upon them. They came to do church. Now, did they always get it right? No, probably not, because they were human after all. But what a beautiful testimony it is for us to read today as thousands of years later we continue to discern how we are called to do and be the church. After Sarah Califf's funeral, her daughter Sissy came up to me and said, "I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but that's the best funeral I've ever been to." Now, at that point, I was on my 3rd ham biscuit, so I really could not argue with her. But do you want to know one of the things that I loved so much about Sarah's funeral and the visitation that followed? Over the course of that very long day, as some of you will remember, I drove up to Clemson and back with her family that night. And even in the week leading up to it, we did church. And I would argue that we did it right. Because you, members of this church family, worked tirelessly to make sure that everything was taken care of, from the music to the flowers to the cookies and lemonade. You showed up with food and stood in the kitchen and washed the dishes. You coordinated with the men's breakfast and the barbecue butt pickups and the date for the extravaganza and the Holy Week pyramid colors. Some of you called me more than a few times, worried about how all it would get done. But most of you just showed up. And things happened that to this day I don't even know how they happened. You set up and you cleaned up and you hauled tables and chairs around. And when it was all said and done, it just looked smooth as pie. Most of you came earlier than you said you could and stayed later than you promised. You shared what you had and you never asked for anything in return. And in the end, we did not need anything because this community provided everything that was needed. We did church that week. We were united in a common sense of purpose. We came together and we did church together. And what a testimony that is to the resurrection of Christ Jesus and the powerful truth that love can and will win in our midst. Our scripture reading today talks about giving everything you have and living in community. It says, no one claimed private ownership of any possessions. People who owned land and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. The believers took everything they had and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. My friends, they're not talking about bringing food to a church potluck. This is a bold and radical statement on what it means to live in community, one that is counter to the world that we live in today. It is something I would argue is central to much of the political divisiveness that exists in our country today. And I would not even know where to begin to suggest we try to do exactly what these early Christians did. But I believe we have to start somewhere. We have to find a balance. We might not be able to give everything and live exactly as those early Christians did, but we can do church everywhere, every day. We can get involved here at Bethel and give back as we are able. We can stretch the boundaries of our own generosity, see the needs of others beyond our own trust, and know that God is actively working out the details. Now, my friends, I have a confession to make. The Wednesday before Easter, I was working late that night in my office. Now, have you ever had one of those moments where you were already tired, anticipating how tired you were going to be? That was me on Wednesday night of Holy Week. I was preparing ahead of time for our upcoming Holy Week services and Easter weekend, and I was adding in all of the have-tos of Easter celebrations with three toddlers, trying to juggle that with my wonderful and exciting decision not to combine our two worship services here this year, even though every one of my staff members had suggested it to me. And then I stopped myself, and I changed the narrative from have to get to. Instead of saying I have to wake up so early, I said, I get to wake up early and proclaim the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I get to see the joy of my precious miracles as they hunt for Easter eggs and bite the ears off of a chocolate bunny for breakfast. I get to hug my church family and wish them a happy Easter. I get to have my picture made with my mama standing next to a living cross, something I have done every Easter for 37 years. I get to bear witness to the truth that love wins. I get to watch the sunrise and remember that even in the darkest moments, God's light always finds a way to shine. I get to do church and once again figure out an answer to the question, what's next? Where do we go from here? And so I don't know if it was that or the fact that I set 4 alarms for Easter morning, but I jumped out of bed when it was time to get up. And all day I just kept thinking to myself, what an honor and privilege it is to proclaim resurrection, to enact the gospel, to live up to the grace given to me, and to do church with all of you. And my friends, do we always get it right? No, because we're human too. But I believe with my whole heart that we here at Bethel, we as a church community have reached a point where we're trying really hard to do it right. And that's good news. Because we in the United Methodist Church, we've reached a critical point in our history. We are facing many changes and transitions as a denomination. Following the specially called General Conference earlier this year, in just 2 weeks, Debbie and Sally and I will go to South Carolina's annual conference in Greenville. We will elect delegates for our next global conference in 2020. And there are many unknowns ahead. So we here at Bethel, what do we do now? My friends, let us make the commitment today to do church. Let's gather together. Let's share what we have with one another and make sure that no one needs anything. Let's give testimony to the work that God is doing something good in our lives so that others might know of God's love and God's grace. Let's keep asking the question together, where do we go from here? What do we do with these profound and life-altering ways that God is working in our midst? How does this grace change our perspectives on life and faith? Where are some places that might need our sharing of the good news? How will we act moving forward? And how will our actions define the next generation of Christianity? I believe that as a church, we are more than simply the sum of our parts. Together, we can act out our faith and continue to write this Christian story. And we can see to it that people's lives are changed along the way. We can share what we have with others, our time, our money, our talents, our resources, so that our testimony to God's grace is a living testimony. We can do this using our words, our actions, and if we're feeling musical, maybe a little song and dance. So let us, proclaiming the grace given to us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let us do church, my friends. May it be so. Let us pray. God of love, pour out your Holy Spirit on us here at Bethel. Lead us in the work of your church. Fill us up with the goodness of your grace and lead us out into the world. Transform us and help us to transform your world. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.